The hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. John 4:23-24. In Acts chapter 2, the church began with worship prominently mentioned. In Acts 2, verse 42, the writer Luke is directed by the Holy Spirit, stated that these early disciples, these early followers of Christ continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, and breaking of bread, our fellowship, and breaking of bread and prayers. In Acts 2:47, it says they were found praising God and having favor with all the people. Later in Acts chapter 20, verse 7, as Paul meets with the Christians there in Troas, it was said that they came together upon the first day of the week. It says when the disciples came together to break bread. Among the ways that early Christians worshiped God was in partaking of the Lord's Supper. We want to spend a few minutes this morning thinking about the Lord's Supper. In 1 Corinthians 11:20, God's word refers to it as the Lord's Supper. Acts 2:42, it's referred to as the breaking of bread. And in 1 Corinthians 10:21, the Apostle Paul refers to it as the Lord's table. And in verse 16 of that same chapter, referred to as the communion of the body and blood of the Lord. Ed Wharton, one of the instructors at the time I was at the school of preaching in Lubbock, Texas, has written a book entitled The Church of Christ. And in that book he says of the Lord's Supper, it is a communion. Scripture reference 1 Corinthians 10:15-21. He continues from the Greek word koinonia, K-O-I-N-O-N-I-A, a having in common. Partnership, fellowship, the share that one has in anything, of sharing in the realization of the effects of the blood of Christ as set forth by the emblems in the Lord's Supper. I believe he got that from Thayer. For over 2,000 years, Christians throughout the world have assembled on the Lord's Day, the first day of the week, to worship God in a manner prescribed in the New Testament. We were talking about that this morning in our Bible class, talking about how the church began as evidenced in Acts chapter 2, beginning with verse 1 and following, and how the church grew. How the church began with the Jews in the city of Jerusalem. Then later, Paul was shown that God is no respecter of persons, that all people are subject to the gospel and have salvation available to them, as he converted Cornelius, the first Gentile convert. Partaking of the Lord's Supper or eating the Lord's Supper is one of five avenues of worship that is mentioned in God's Word. Colossians 3:16-17, 1 Thessalonians 5:19 speaks of us singing, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. We pray together when we meet in fellowship together. There's a giving of that which we've been blessed by the Lord. His Bible study, Paul, as he was meeting with the Christians at Troas, preached to them. He taught them and instructed them from God's word, or from the words that he was given from God. Then we have the Lord's Supper. This is a memorial feast. It's something by which we remember Jesus. For many, it's the most meaningful, perhaps because it's the most intimate area of our worship as we gather together. Because we have fellowship or partnership, communion with God, with Jesus Christ, we have communion with one another. This is one of the reasons we come together as Christians, so that we might have this fellowship, this strength that each gives the other. By its very nature, it's more intimate and more personal than some of the other acts of worship, perhaps. I remember when I was growing up, probably rummaging around in the house where probably I didn't need to be, but at my grandmother's and aunt's house, spent some time there, and they had the old Bibles. And a lot of times these old Bibles were where they put some flowers, perhaps in memory of some loved one or some event. A lot of times I'd thumb through those old Bibles, seeing, you know, what was written in them, And these leaves would fall out, sometimes as powder almost, but they've been in there so long they deteriorated. Cherished pictures, especially of our grandparents, many of our grandparents or great grandparents, they fade over time. They lose their luster. Sometimes those who know whose picture it is still can't recognize them very well. Marble monuments, many times as the years go by, fall to the ground and are leveled. But the Lord's Supper is one memorial that has not disintegrated. It has not faded, has not been effaced. Has not been leveled by time. Someone wrote this concerning the Lord's Supper. Neither the grinding of the elements nor the wearing of time can keep this monument from standing in memory of Christ. Christ commanded it be done in his memory when he instituted the Lord's Supper. Yet many forget. Many forget. I mentioned this morning that we could tell by some of Peter's writing in 1 Peter and 2 Peter. He uses the word, I bring you in remembrance of this. And I tried to express that it doesn't mean necessarily that I have dementia because I have forgotten something. It may be that it's just a passing of time. It may be that it wasn't impressed on my mind sufficiently at some moment in time. But we have to be reminded. In this case, we're reminded each first day of the week, this do in remembrance of me. The church at Corinth. Their memory, their understanding had not gotten to the point that it should have. Chapter 3 of 1 Corinthians, Paul said they were still carnal-minded. They were still fleshly-minded. And he pointed out a number of things throughout the 16 chapters of 1 Corinthians that indicate that that was so. But let us look at 1 Corinthians 11, beginning with verse 23, reading down through verse 30. verses that are read in our presence many times on a Sunday morning in reference to our and in connection with our partaking of the Lord's Supper. I read it to you at this time in connection with this lesson. For I received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you. See, Paul says, I've already preached this sermon. Now I want to put it into writing. That the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner, also he took the cup, when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood, my will. This do ye, as often as ye drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. We're talking about jogging our memory. Jeremiah once said, can a maid forget her ornaments or bride her attire? Yet my people have forgotten me days without number. This was Jeremiah speaking on behalf of God to God's people. Yet my people have forgotten me days without number. And so Jeremiah preached and he preached and he preached, and God's people still forgot. And Paul says to the church at Corinth, I preached this before, but based upon news he'd been hearing from the household of Chloe and elsewhere, they needed to hear it again. And sometimes we need to hear things. We need to hear things again and again and again. And we need to be reminded. Partaking of the Lord's Supper should never become a ritual with us. It's something that should be taken in a reverent manner. We should approach our worship in a reverent manner. It's difficult for me sometimes to know when to cut off talking to everybody and when to settle my mind and my thinking down so I can be ready to worship. Our minds have to be focused. And our attention span many times is like the kids got attention deficit disorder. We've been trained by televisions. Every 3 or 4 minutes, they break your train of thought because they know you're going off. Then they come up with a commercial and it lasts a certain amount of time and whop, you're back into whatever was going on before. We sometimes sing, I believe in the one they call Jesus. I believe. Started reading a book by Max Lucado entitled, God Came Near. God Came Near. I've been reading from a commentary and I thought, well, I need to read this a little bit more devotional type, although we need to read the Bible, we need to read what the words of the Bible are, lest we just become tainted by what somebody else thinks about the Bible. All we know is what we know about the Bible, but we don't know the Bible. But here in 1 Corinthians 11, a number of things are said by Paul, and we'll try to cover some of those areas if we have time. Jesus said, this do. We have this written, or typed in, or not typed in, be a big typewriter, etched in, I guess, to the front of this table, this do in remembrance of me. He said this, as far as what we need to do, Jesus has laid out when he instituted the Lord's Supper. Back in Matthew 26, or you can go to Luke 22, or I think in Mark 14, read about it. Let's read where Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper. It was at the Passover. It was at the last Passover that Jesus was to attend, the third during his ministry. Says, now the first day of the feast of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus, saying unto him, where wilt thou that we prepare for thee to eat the Passover? This is Matthew 26:17. And he said, go into the city to such a man, and say unto him, the master saith, my time is at hand. I will keep the Passover at thy house with my disciples. And the disciples did as Jesus had appointed them. And they made ready the Passover. And when the evening was come, he sat down with the 12. And as they did eat, he said, verily I say unto you that one of you shall betray me. And they were exceeding sorrowful, and began every one of them to say unto him, Lord, is it I? And he answered and said, he that dippeth his hand with me in the dish, the same shall betray me. The Son of Man goeth, as it is written of him, but woe unto that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It had been good for that man if he had not been born. Then Judas, which betrayed him, answered and said, Master, is it I? He said unto him, thou hast said. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it. And he gave it to the disciples and said, take, eat. This is my body. He took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink ye all of it, for this is the blood of my New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it anew with you in my Father's kingdom. And when they had sung a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. And Luke, I believe, is where Jesus says this do in remembrance of me. He said this, nothing else would do. The fruit of the vine, the bread rather would represent his body. Unleavened bread is what they had available during this period of time of the Passover. The drinking of the cup or the fruit of the vine, he said, this is my blood. It represented his body and blood. He said, this do. It's an imperative, really, isn't it? It's a command. This was something that really was not optional, was not left to my discretion, not something I could decide one way or the other. Many today fail to see the importance of what's going on here as we partake of the Lord's Supper. I know Brother Collins, in his worship book that I have retained over the years somehow, the syllabus, he said that as he was observing the congregation on one occasion, two young boys that had been baptized into Christ. They were playing some game, and Lord's Supper was passed, and they took time out to take the Lord's Supper and continued their game. You see, this is not time for a game. This is not time for carrying on conversation. This is not time for wondering about what we're going to have for lunch and where we're going out to eat. It's time to focus. That's one of the most difficult things that I have to do. And I'm sure that it affects you too, is to focus. You know, one time in Philippians 3, Paul said, this one thing I do. It's difficult to do one thing, but we need to do one thing. We need to focus. We need to focus our time. We need to focus our effort. We need to focus our energy, our thoughts on what it is that we're doing. This do. We should always be aware that Jesus instituted this himself, and it was commanded of his followers according to 1 Corinthians 11, Acts 20, verse 7. This do in remembrance of me. What am I to think about as I partake of the Lord's Supper? You know, sometimes my mind will wander. Sometimes perhaps it's good if Joe's read a scripture, or if Don or someone that had Philip that served up here and read a scripture. Perhaps we need to have that open to that scripture and read that scripture again and again. Perhaps we should just close our eyes and to think back to the cross. Think back to his death on the cross. What was going on at that time? The agony earlier, perhaps, in the Garden of Gethsemane. The empty tomb. The ascension of Christ back to the Father. Our minds should be tuned to be focused on that till he comes again. We forget, though, don't we? We need constantly to be reminded. We need a living monument, and we have it in the Lord's Supper. There's a looking back. The Lord's Supper is a memorial which preaches to our children, to our grandchildren, that reminds us. And as a silent witness that speaks loud and clear, that I believe in the one they call Jesus. And I believe he died on Mount Calvary for my sins. Jesus says, don't forget me. This do in remembrance of me. It's a looking forward. Paul said, you proclaim the Lord's death till he come. 1 Corinthians 11, 26. The institution of the Lord's Supper was during the Passover. At that time of the year, the Jews paused to reflect upon the time that they were in Egyptian bondage, and the fact that God was able to have them released from that bondage, to escape the bondage, to have deliverance from that bondage by the power of God. And we as Christians should look back and look back to the time that we escaped the bondage of sin, when we were baptized into Christ, picturing the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And we remember. We remember. He made possible our salvation. And we look forward to his coming again. Remember, as Jesus was taken up, the two angels standing by said, he'll come again as you've seen him leave. Jesus, in fact, in John 14, verse 2, says, I go to prepare a place for you. The third verse, he says, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. I know whom I have believed, the Apostle Paul told Timothy, giving much encouragement to that young man. Going back to 1 Corinthians 11, verse 27 through 30, some words that have bothered some people. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. I think the phrase or the words that bother some is this, worthily, unworthy. Some have felt that I'm unworthy to partake of the Lord's Supper. Well, we're all unworthy to partake of the Lord's Supper, aren't we? We're all unworthy because Jesus offered sacrifice for our sins, and we have imputed to us His righteousness. When God looks at us and sees us and He sees His Son, Jesus says, I sacrificed my life for that sin. We need to repent. We need to pray God for forgiveness for that sin as a Christian. That's what a sinful Christian should do. Repent, pray, and then partake of the Lord's Supper. If there's a problem with some other Christian or some person, that needs to be resolved prior to partaking of the Lord's Supper. Another point I found in Willard Collins' book on worship, on page 15 of that book, he used an illustration. He says, a sick man does not refrain from eating food just because he's weak. Then he goes on to say this, as it worthily or in a worthy manner simply means discerning, or seeing or realizing, discerning the meaning and understanding the significance of the Lord's Supper. So, it's a warning to each of us to realize the seriousness of what we're doing. The seriousness of what we're doing is to be done reverently, not in a flippant manner, not in a careless, thoughtless manner, not I just put my mind in neutral, and then when I'm through partaking of the Lord's Supper, I wonder whether I ever partook of the Lord's Supper. That's not gonna impress God, I don't think. Its seriousness can be seen in the words in 1 Corinthians 11:29, for he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself. When as a Christian I partake of the Lord's Supper, I claim to be His followers. Jesus said, This do in remembrance of me. I remember the life. I remember the death. I remember the burial and resurrection of Jesus. I remember the salvation is mine because of what He did, what He went through on that Thursday night and that Friday. And throughout that weekend, I proclaim the Lord's death till He come again. I preach a sermon, in essence, to everybody around. Other Christians knows, here's someone else that believes in Jesus as well as I do. And that should encourage us. That should strengthen each of us. When my love to Christ grows weak, when for deeper faith I seek, then in thought I go to Thee, Garden of Gethsemane. When my love for man grows weak, when for stronger faith I seek, Hill of Calvary I go, to Thy scenes of fear and woe. There behold His agony, suffered on the bitter tree. See His anguish. See His face, love triumphant still in death. The song has been given for the invitation song, Just As I Am. If you're here this morning and not a Christian, God will take you just as you are as a faithful believer in Him, in Christ, willing to confess and repent of those sins just as you are. Because just as you are has to change. It changes as we repent and turn away from sin as we change. Then we've been baptized in obedience to His will, to have our sins washed away. walk away as a new creature in Christ. If you as a Christian need our prayers on your behalf, you wish to rededicate your life to Christ, whatever you need, would you come as we stand, as we sing.